And we're joined now by Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. And Mark has been covering politics in Louisiana for a very long time. And we're going to get his take on 2019, the year that was. And Mark, we did have an election in the year of 2019. And there were a few other twists and turns. What do you think the major component was as far as the takeaway from last year?
Morning to George. And I think the major takeaway is that a Democratic governor can be elected in a red state, even with the President of the United States running heavily against him. And I think that was probably our biggest news in Louisiana. But, you know, I cover politics, so therefore I'm a little bit prejudiced on that. So,
well, it was a governor's election that got people engaged. John Bel Edwards, with 774,000 votes, received well over 100,000 more votes than he did the year 4 years earlier, 128,000 to be precise. And Eddie Rasponi, in defeat, with 734,000 votes, received 228,000 more votes than David Vitter did in 2015. So people got out to vote. That's a good thing.
Well, but if you recall, though, that this election really came and started only gelling a couple of weeks before the primary, and then it really got going between the primary and the runoff. That's where most of the money was spent. That was where most of the ads were, and that was when the a lot of the churches and Democratic organizations and said, "Oh, wow, we could lose this if it doesn't, you know, because this is going to be a turnout vote, not a persuasion vote." There was no persuasion going on, and so that's that accounted for why you saw so many people going out to vote and why it was so close. I mean, there was only 40,000 votes separating the two.
Well, the governor takes office with a supermajority in the Senate from the Republican Party and a solid majority, close to being two-thirds in the House. And he has lots of people taking aim at him, including some other statewide officials, notably the Attorney General Jeff Landry. And you note, you did on the Christmas Day edition of The Advocate, that the state treasurer is at odds with the governor. What's going on between John Schroeder and John Bel Edwards?
Well, what they say, I mean, what Schroeder says is that, you know, this is, we're talking about the money that's unclaimed property. It comes from, you know, closed bank accounts that you may have forgotten about or that your mom had and no one could find. And he says, well, that's the money of the people, and therefore we should not be turning it over to the state and the state government, as it had been done for, I mean, a generation, been done this way. And so now all of a sudden he says, no, we're not going to do that anymore. But they had been using that money to do things like fund the Interstate 49 extension. They were using that money to help, you know, pay for this and that state operating expenses. And now he's bringing this up to, it's only about $20 million, but it kind of throws the budget out of kilter on that. And it's something that's different that hasn't been done before. And why would it have been done under a Governor Rasponi? And there's a lot of question as to whether that would have been the case.
Mm-hmm. Politics does have a way of causing people to change their views, people who are in office, as we know. You interviewed, since we last spoke, Jay Darden, the now Commissioner of Administration. And Jay Darden, perhaps no big secret, but he's interested in becoming President and Chancellor of LSU. How interested?
Well, it seems like he's real interested. What had happened is that, you know, his name had been popping up since the summertime when LSU President F. King Alexander was getting pummeled by some of the bigger donors at LSU for handling of the Greek situation over there after the death of the freshman and handling of various issues on campus. And so, and his name kept popping up, and he always would say no, and just kind of quietly say that he wasn't that interested in it, and take it out of his name out of that realm in that fight. But in our conversation, he said, yes, he is interested in it. He likes the job, but he's not going to make any announcements. He's not going to make any lean into pushing for the job until the Board of Supervisors, of which he once was a member, the Board of Supervisors kind of decides what the procedure is going to be. And then once that procedure is announced that he was going to, you know, if he decides to do it, and officially decides to do it, he would follow what the procedure is rather than try to jump line, which is what many of our politicians try to do.
Well, translated, I think it's he'll take the job if he can get it, and there's some talk about splitting the job up. We talked about that before, but some believe that having a president and a chancellor different than a singular person would be a good thing. We'll talk with Mark about some other matters of importance, and if you'd like to chime in, 877-217-5757. The 2019 cycle had some twists and turns in Louisiana that Mark followed, and we talked about on the air, and we'll recap those and perhaps cover some new ground when we return with more. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757, your number. talk@talklouisiana.org, our email. And Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Advocate, is with us. And we're talking about 2019 and how that computes to where we go in 2020. And a listener notes that St. George was a huge story in 2019, accepted by the voters in St. George in a relatively close vote, but it happened, and now there are court challenges and businesses who are trying to get out of St. George, and in some cases being successful in doing so. Where does this go as we move forward this year, Mark?
I think pretty sure it's going to court, and it will be finally decided. Is that, I mean, the rules say that it was, you know, the people within the where the new incorporation was going to take place get to vote on whether to do it or not. But because St. George, because the southeastern part of the parish was so enmeshed with the rest of the parish for so long, with so much spending being done out there, it's going to be a little more difficult to pull apart because the rest of us who did not get to vote on this are saying, well, you know, what are you going to pay, you know, for the stuff that we've given you so far?
Another listener asks why The Advocate does not do its top 10 stories as it did for many years. I see the business section has a recap of top stories, but it's no longer in the Metro section, to my knowledge. Is that something that's kind of gone away?
I guess it has. I mean, I don't know. That's above my pay grade, okay, as to why we do it or
well,
don't do it.
The business section actually has most of the stories that would have been on that list, without crime, which is always a huge story, of course. But tariffs alter Louisiana trade. That's one of the top stories in business and elsewhere. And it's been reported that the trade deficit in the U.S. has gone up substantially under President Trump, despite these tariffs. And in Louisiana, you have noted on this show that the exports to China dropped by 61%. It's made an effect on what's happening in Louisiana.
It will have a huge effect, more so on us than other states in the Midwest and in Deep South, because I've forgotten the exact number, but it's an incredible number, like two-thirds of the grain and farm stuffs that go out into the world go through Louisiana ports. And so that, I mean, that's money that we will not be making. That's money that we will not be collecting, or taxes that will not be collected. And so, I mean, it's going to have a massive impact. And what the new, or what they're calling phase one of the new agreement actually does, I'm unsure right now. It doesn't seem like it's going to be helping us that much.
877-217-5757 is your number. Ray in Prairieville, you're on with Mark Ballard. Hi, Ray.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking the call. I had two questions, but I'll avoid the one. But I'd like to know from Mr. Ballard is where they stand on the need for better roads, better tax system, et cetera, here in Louisiana, better pay for teachers. But what I'm going to ask, just a simple one. I'm amazed at how well the Advocate and all the newspapers managed to leave zero vacancies And they must base the articles on trying to fill up the space, and they completely fill up the space.
All right, that's an interesting observation. But
yeah, that is kind of what we have to do. It's been tough for the last couple of weeks. And so,
white space is not good in a newspaper.
I've often argued with the editors that perhaps we ought to just leave a blank page, but they disagree with me totally, as does the owner of the newspaper.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly. But,
admittedly, these arguments come during holiday times when news is hard to find.
Well, one of the top stories in business for 2019 was The Advocate buying the Times-Picayune. And you now have some colleagues that were competitors not so long ago. How's that working?
It's, it's working because, first off, we're all reporters, and I always found, in the competition sense that it was never very, we cover politics, we don't practice it that much, and it was never the kind of scorched earth thought processes that go on with a lot of the politicians. It was more, they're there the same time as we are, and I think it's worked well. I think the purchase, though, kind of indicates the problems that local news media is having trying to keep the money flowing so that there can be reporting of local situations and local issues.
Another story that the Advocate mentioned is a major one in business, Cortana Mall, which opened in August of 1976. It once was the place to go and shop in Baton Rouge. That changed mainly in 1997 with the opening of the Mall of Louisiana, but Cortana is pretty much a relic of its former greatness, and the community has evolved. That area of town has changed a lot, too. Where are we going as a community as far as perhaps more movement away from areas that used to be fruitful for commerce?
I remember when walking through that Cortana Mall with my kids, and that would be an afternoon well spent. But when I arrived at LSU, Bon Marché was the mall that everybody went to. But as far as I think the answer to the question is that, and you can see it as you're driving down and seeing all the construction, that we're growing more towards New Orleans. This is the suburbs, the new housing tracks, the new shopping centers are all being done south along the I-10, south of Highland Road, Prairieville, Gonzales, further down, Sorrento.
Mark, a listener notes that times, of course, continue to change, and Louisiana accepted the Medicaid money under Governor Edwards, but 14 states still have not accepted the money provided through Medicaid in the Affordable Care Act. The listener asked Tom on Bluebonnet if Governor Edwards had not been elected, would Louisiana be without that money?
Yes. I think that's easy to say. There would be 15 states if Governor Edwards had not been elected.
Isn't that amazing? That's pretty much a free ride, and states aren't taking it just because they don't want to have anything to do with so-called Obamacare.
And, yes, that is. It's a partisan issue on that, and they are saying that it's going to create too much of expense, that it already has created too much expense in Louisiana. But the other part of that is that you're not really counting up the expense of having people without insurance flooding our hospitals, doing basically emergency rooms, which is very expensive, but having a way to treat their illnesses before they become a problem. And so that's basically what the fight is about. And it seems like the majority of the country has adopted lots of problems with the Medicaid now, but they're saying this is the route we're going to go.
877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace, you're on with Mark Ballard. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim, and Happy New Year. Mr. Ballard, I just want to thank you for the investigative journalism that the Advocate's done. I know there was a long series about pollution and also the business tax credits, and I hope that work keeps up, and it's a good paper. Thanks.
Yeah, and won the Pulitzer Prize, another major happening in the year, and And stories like the environmental work you did they are very important. Last week I noted on this show that Garrett Graves received more than $600,000 in contributions from the oil and gas industry, and a listener says, to be fair, Cedric Richmond also received more than $400,000. I think we mentioned that before, but the oil and gas industry in Louisiana continues to be a mighty force, Mark.
And will continue to be a mighty force in this state. They, at least along the private sector, they create a good number of well-paying jobs, and that seems to be important. But they also spend a lot of money on politicians, and they carry a lot of weight within the state because of the money that they are creating. I want to point out, though, that the agriculture makes more money than oil and gas does, and gambling makes more money than oil and gas does.
Well, and that brings us to a question from a listener noting that in the Advocate, it was reported a few days ago that the proceeds from gambling at the riverboats in Louisiana went from $309 million in 2017 to $236 million now. That's a huge decrease. Okay. What is going on?
Well, the huge decrease is coming about because, or at least if you listen to the casino folks, and they seem to make sense on this, is that Louisiana's casino industry has not been allowed to expand and create the resort type of communities that that we are now in competition with, so that folks will end up going to Mississippi, where you know it's there are more amenities involved in it. There's sports betting involved into it. We are very reticent to change the way it was adapted back in the 90s, though we have over time. And I think that one of the ways that they're attempting to address this issue is to bring those riverboats on land. We saw the first one approved over in Lake Charles, or actually Westlake, and there's going to be others that will bring those riverboat casinos on land and then start creating more resort type of amenities to go along with it, make it more of an entertainment center rather than a place where you can, you know, lose your 401k.
And if there were sports betting in Louisiana, there'd be a lot of money on LSU against Clemson. 11 days away from the big game, we'll be talking about it. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Thanks, Mark Ballard. Back tomorrow.